The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the debut episode of our podcast called Late Admission, where two random guys, Miguel and
Mateo,
talk about
classic movies from the perspective of two average guys and you guys know in the Big 2-6 if you should watch them or not.
Yes. Anyways, a little bit about ourselves. Miguel, what is your excuse to be uncultured?
Well, that's kind of harsh. You know what? I wouldn't say I'm uncultured. I just don't watch a lot of movies. You know, I've watched a lot of Instagram reels. Why are you making that face?
Oh,
I've watched a little bit of Instagram reels.
Right.
I can't lie. That's my main source of entertainment, I would say. But now it's shifting into movies, thanks to this podcast.
Right.
How about you? What's your lame excuse?
Not as much reels. A lot of anime back then. Still now. One Piece is long.
Never heard of it.
I also watched a lot of sci-fi back then, but then every time it's like anything other than Star Wars or stuff like that, I'm kind of a noob.
Gotta love Star Wars.
As they say.
Well, just to tell listeners, this podcast will be covering spoilers of whichever movie that we watch. Yep. And today, we had the pleasure of watching Pulp Fiction.
Yes, that we did.
What were your initial thoughts?
Enjoyable. Really cool. Action cuts were fun. The Vincent and Jules duo was really fun. Comedy was funny. Yeah, all around enjoyable. What about you?
I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, like Quentin Tarantino, I've seen two of his movies before, Django Unchained and Inglourious Basterds. I watched Inglourious Basterds first and I kind of expected a Quentin Tarantino movie to be kind of strange, you know.
But what a cast. Yeah. Quentin Tarantino, director, and he was also Jimmy. Maybe my favorite character. Very funny, very funny character. John Travolta, legend, apparently. I didn't know that. But he's one of the main characters. Samuel Jackson.
Yes.
Bacon. He's the best.
Right.
And
Bruce Willis.
I don't know. Yeah, I was about to say. I was about to say.
My favorite character. He's so cool. So much aura.
We have Ving Rhames, the guy from Mission Impossible.
Yes. As Marcellus. Yeah.
Marcellus.
Yeah.
You know that. Uma Thurman.
As Mia.
As
the
Mia.
Drug addict.
The Woo! Drug addict. Oh, gosh. We'll get more into that.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, that was a little bit about the movie, but going into it, what were your preconceived notions of, like, what you thought the movie was going to be about?
Well, every time I heard about Pulp Fiction, it was always very glorified as one of the greatest movies of all time.
That's true.
A classic.
For that.
I was expecting something more confusing, less straightforward, something with, like, you need multiple watches to fully understand the plot and everything. To be also kind of weird because Tarantino, I haven't really watched any movie of his, but every time I hear about him, it's like kind of unhinged, odd scenes all around.
Odd scenes,
and,
that's true.
I also seen a couple of clips on TikTok, perhaps, like the pig scene at the dinner. So I expected it to be funny.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about it, like saying exact same stuff as you were saying, like, oh, this is like a really good movie. I think when people say that, to me at least, like a really good movie is one that's, you know, you can watch it multiple times and it's like, whoa, I didn't catch that, or like there's a twist or something like that. And that's what I was expecting. But also at the same time, I was like, wait, but it's a Quentin Tarantino movie? I mean, when I was going into the movie, I was expecting it to be very, very much like a movie that could be intellectual, you know? Like you could think about it, have a really long discussion about it.
I get what you mean.
It's not that. It's like a fun movie.
Yeah.
Which I did not expect based on the hype. It does have the vibe of like a magazine, you know?
Uh-huh.
Pulp Fiction.
Even the cover. Really,
yeah, the cover too. I think that was the goal.
Yeah.
Which I think they did. They executed pretty well, at least.
Mm-hmm. The cover features Mia as like the main character on the cover.
Yeah.
Which in the movie really isn't the fact. Like, it's not, she's not that central to the plot. I mean, I guess at the start, but then she kind of fades away. And then, I mean, we'll talk about that, but.
Yeah, that's true.
She's that central.
She is not that central. And like, she's a very confusing character, to be honest. Like, she just appears for that one segment. And then, boom, she's gone. But so is a lot of the segments. We're like, what is the point of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's talk about some of the iconic scenes that we've seen as memes.
Right.
Well, scenes as memes.
Well, the dinner scene, again, for me, it's kind of what came after it. My favorite scene was that when a honey bunny and pumpkin, because they don't have actual names, the names
given
in the show, they kind of like serve to have Samuel L. Jackson's character to like have some of the only character development in the show.
Mm.
That's my favorite scene. I don't know, because I felt like a character was actually evolving, which
that's
we didn't
true.
Really see in
that's,
the whole movie.
That's crazy. That's true. Because I also thought, like, okay, all the characters are so static.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, except for Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
And that was also my favorite part of the movie, the last scene.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you know, the bacon tastes good. He's like, now I don't eat schwat.
You're going to go over it, like, three times?
Okay, hold on. Well, one of the iconic scenes that I'm surprised you didn't say, it was, like, the confused Travolta scene, you know? When he's, like, in the house and he's, like, high.
Oh, yeah,
he's
yeah.
high in hair and he's, like, looking around, uh-huh. like, what's going on?
That's really iconic.
Seen that a lot. The Royale with cheese? Wait, hold on. We actually have an in-studio Frenchman here.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about the Royale with cheese?
I can confirm it is called that in France. It is called Royale with cheese. It is actually even
so,
cheese.
Wait, hold on. When you go to the cash register, you go like, can I get the Royal with cheese?
Yeah, Royal cheese, you just say. That is actually the name of it. Even cheese is not translated. It's called cheese. Because cheeseburger is also like a universal word that they use in Europe.
Yeah, the Royal with cheese.
Yeah.
That's pretty iconic.
Yeah, it is. And in the movie, I feel like most of the comedic cuts, they relied on like repetition. Foot massage, for example. I don't know how many times they said that, you know, before they get into that apartment. They said it like 10 times. And yeah, I think that's what makes Vincent and Jules interesting, actually. Their comedic relief.
Wait, do you mean their comedic relief as in they're very relatable to the crowd? And it's like, oh yeah, like they're kind of having a funny conversation.
Yeah,
and they're kind of like tuning into that.
Yeah, and it also doesn't seem like they're hitmen.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's just like...
chill guys.
Very unhinged.
Let's talk a little bit more about the meat of the movie.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You know, we were just talking about burgers. We just had the fries. A little bit of the drink.
Okay.
Let's talk about the meat.
The timeline was disturbing.
Yeah.
It was confusing. Like, they would go from flashback to the present, and then they go back to a flashback, and you'd be like, not really understanding where you were sitting. I mean, most of the time, you kind of knew. For example, when Travolta died, and then you had a flashback where he was featured in. I don't know. It wasn't the most linear way of approaching the story. I don't know. I felt like the flashbacks weren't really well-structured.
Did that, like, help the movie in a good way or in a bad way? What did you think?
No, I don't think... not in a good way. I think Tarantino kind of went, like, experimental with the way he structured the flashbacks and all that. I don't think he succeeded in doing that. Because the structure of the movie, if we can get into that, is also not conventional.
Yeah, definitely not.
So,
I agree. I think it was kind of strange.
The flashbacks didn't help, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, the flashbacks were weird. So strange, just cutting from time to time. And, I mean, the main one is, like, when he dies. Travolta dies. Apparently, to me, I thought he was the main character of the show, or the movie.
Right. There's no real main character, if we really think about
it. Yeah. There's right. Well, maybe... I mean, the fact that Samuel L. Jackson's character has a big change.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, maybe he's one of the more impactful characters.
Yeah, but for like, then you get like a 30-minute segment where you're like, well, Bruce Willis is clearly the main character.
Oh, yeah.
Butch is
yeah.
like center of the story for like 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like...
very strange. The timeline just cuts from a story to another story to another story. It's like, there's nothing to follow.
Yeah.
And then, like we mentioned before, how... we have the cafe scene, and then that's like the only scene that gets tied back into the story.
Mm-hmm.
They tie that back at the end where it's like, oh, wait, I've heard Tarantino in a real watch talk about this. Oh, like I tricked the audience, you know?
Right, okay.
It's like I made everyone forget about the cafe scene, and then once you see that frame of just the outside of the cafe, it's like, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, you got that straight away.
Yeah, the timeline was really interesting, very weird, obviously unconventional. I did not like it. I did not like it. It was very
timeline?
New. Yeah, I mean, I'm not too big of a fan of the whole timeline thing. It was a bit strange to me.
At the same time, I felt like because it was so unstructured, it felt like the characters were more alive. It kind of seemed like it was just a portion of somebody's life instead of an actual story. They just filmed someone for like a couple of weeks. The beginning doesn't feel like a start, and the ending doesn't feel like a finish to me, at least.
Mm.
And so I feel like it's just... someone's life for a period of time. And so that way, I think, since like the characters are not like bond to a linear story, they feel more alive.
Yeah, it's true, because you only have them for a little bit, a small part of time.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the classic problem appearing, problem solving, and then conclusion.
Mm.
It really doesn't follow that. Or if it does it like five different times.
Yeah. Again, it's like the static characters. Like, no one changes except for Jules. But then the timeline does follow from the beginning of the movie. So, were there any parts that you thought were boring?
Not really. Because I think, as we were saying, it was like swinging from like problem to problem. And it was always like there was a new thing on the table, from getting Mia to spend a good afternoon to like having to visit those guys in their apartment to kill them or whatever, get whatever merchandise they had. I feel like it was very relentless.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a good thing, but at the same time, you don't really get bored.
Yeah. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I was bored either. It was more of like, I just watched that. It was an hour ago.
Yeah.
Where's Mia? Like, what?
Yeah. If anything, you're more overwhelmed than underwhelmed.
Yeah, it was very strange. If anyone remembered the cafe scene in the middle of a movie, you'd be like, okay, maybe that ties in somewhere. And it does eventually, but it's like an hour ago, you know.
Yeah.
That was confusing.
I do think, to talk about Mia again, that there was more to her character that I understood. Because she was at the dinner, and then the next scene she was in the bathroom with blood.
Oh.
Kind of coming out her nose. She was more conflicted than I thought. You know, she kind of felt like a carefree person at the start.
Yeah, that's true.
And then at the end of her story, she's like completely messed up.
Yeah. Very strange.
And the stabbing part, tough to watch. I didn't like that.
Oh, yeah, the needles. Oh, my goodness. No. If you are afraid of needles, do not watch that movie. Some heavy, heavy drug usage.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, connecting it back to like what people were telling me about the movie, like I thought it was going to be a little bit more of a discussion based, like, but it's not. It's not like that. It's not a deeply intellectual movie. I mean, I think at the end with Jules' character, like he has a little monologue with Ringo over there across the table, and he's like, you know, telling him about the Bible passage and whatever.
Yeah.
That might be, you could talk about that for a while. But like, it's not that profound. And it was interesting because I checked like the movies around that time, like The Shawshank Redemption. Apparently, that's a little bit more of an intellectual movie. Yeah, and then, like, comparing it to this, it's like, what is this? It's a very fun movie, though.
I guess
it's very
Good Will
fun.
Hunting as well, Death by Society, kind of released at the same period.
Good Will Hunting, too. I think that you kind of have to, you can't overthink it. And I think that's what the problem was with me, like, when I went into it.
Well, now we come to the segment, a mini game segment,
where we take a look at one-star reviews. Here I have them from Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, and you want to give your opinions on them? Here's the review. Quentin Tarantino's acting is terrible. There's no real storyline. It is a bunch of quirky incidents put together that makes it more of a comedy than a story. It's fun to watch, but there's no substance. Strange, that's what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fully disagree with that. I don't think Tarantino's acting was that crazy either. I feel like when I watched him, I could tell he was the director of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
His lines felt so on purpose. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like he really wanted his character to be a certain way because he's the director, right? And so he executed them lines he would want a character to deliver.
I honestly really loved that scene. I really loved his character.
Interesting. I don't mind
it. It's very comedic, you know?
Yeah.
Do you see my door? Does it say dead storage here? No. Do you know why? Because we don't store dead. It's so good.
Real funny scene.
How about the storyline part? Do you agree with that? No real storyline?
I mean, kind of. There's no real storyline. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it is weirdly structured, as I said a thousand times now. But is it more a comedy than a story? I don't think so. That I don't agree with. Because, for example, like, the whole Butch segment, there's no comedy at all whatsoever.
Yeah,
same for Marcellus. They're very, like, monotone characters.
Yeah. Marcellus was a serious... You know how, like, some of the... Yeah, a lot of aura. If we're talking about TikTok. But it seemed like... You know, like, the comedy movies where there's, like, the boss, the head mob boss, but he's, like, you can tell, like, oh, yeah, like, he's a boss, but he's, like, somewhat comedic.
Mm-hmm.
Marcellus isn't like that. He's too horrible.
In, like, the first 30 minutes, he's mentioned, like, 100 times, and we never see his face.
Yeah.
That kind of contributes to the whole charismatic aura.
Yeah.
Aura farming.
Yeah.
Same for Butch. Butch has so much aura.
Oh, my gosh. Butch. He had an interesting part.
Yeah.
I thought that was going somewhere. I actually thought that was going somewhere.
Yeah.
Didn't. Mm-hmm. How about you read one? What do you have over there?
This might be among the worst movies ever made. No audience should willingly sit through the mental illness process of a director. From Joshua. What do you think?
Well, you know what? Thanks, Josh. No audience should willingly sit through the mental illness of a process of a director. That's what you said?
Yeah, mental illness process of a director, which is weirdly phrased. But
dang, okay. Well, I don't know, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if Quentin Tarantino has actually had some mental illness. But I'm being honest. If you're watching Glorious Bastards, bro, I don't know what's going on there. Right. But
is it one of the worst movies ever made?
I think it's somewhat enjoyable. Yeah. You have to give it some slack. It's a fun movie. Like, you kind of have to sit there and enjoy it. Maybe it's because it was very controversial for its time. Maybe. Like, I can understand why it might get a lot of hate. And, I mean, we didn't really talk about this, but the ratings on online, what are they looking like?
I mean, Rotten Tomatoes at 92%, I think. IMDb's like 8.5, I think, something like that.
Yeah, 8.8.
8.8, that's...
Like, it's pretty high.
Yeah, that's insane.
Considering how... I mean, I think it gets a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
Whether it's valid or not, you know, I think it's valid. But, I don't think it was one of the worst movies ever made. No, I can't agree with that. Can't agree with that at all.
And also, I feel like mental illness process of a director, if that's the one movie from Tarantino where you think he's got mental illnesses, you don't want to watch the others.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, look, Kanye, he has a mental illness. And
where are we going?
I think he makes some good music. I can't lie. Yeah, yeah. I think he makes some good music. I don't agree with his opinions on anything.
Okay.
But I like his music.
So we got a review here from IMDb. Is Revulsion now entertainment? I personally find this film to be a milepost on the decline of American society. And then he goes on a like 3-paragraph rant on why violence shouldn't be entertainment. Talking about drugs, murders. And why it shouldn't be entertainment.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, what year was that review?
1996.
96, okay. Yeah, I mean, considering the time then, like, I could totally see how this guy's like, oh, yeah, I hate, like, how can Revulsion be entertainment? Mm. For this kind of film, I might agree with that. Like, you know, for example, like, the scene in the basement, anyone that's watched that, I don't want to get into it because
I also
gross.
Feel like it could have been much more graphic.
Right.
They didn't show much.
Like, I don't know. What was the purpose of that scene? Like, I can imagine someone watching them being like, oh, like, bro, this guy's getting, you know, but like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like, I don't think you should be doing that. It's kind of weird.
I think the main part was for Butch to clear his debt to Marcellus. I think that was like the main purpose of it.
Yeah, okay.
But like, then again, I think if Marcellus is going to go through that, he needs like at least some sort of like character development that makes him more interesting as a character after.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I feel like it was unnecessary. But the milepost on the decline of American society.
I think that might be a bit much, personally.
That might be a bit much. But I think, you know, if I was to be the devil's advocate here, from his perspective, I could probably see that, you know, like, this guy's probably thinking, like, oh, like, how are we kind of, like, idolizing drugs and, like, whatever else was in the movie? Like,
I mean, at the same time,
he's probably lived, like, a very protective life, let's be honest.
Yeah, but at the same time, are we really idolizing drugs? Like, the one time a character does drugs, she ODs and almost dies. Like, I don't feel like that's a very...
Yeah, it's true.
Nice way of portraying drugs.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you know what? Old reviews are always good to see. See what people were thinking back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to cut that conversation a little short. What were your official opinions on it? You know, like, in the big 2-6. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Would you let somebody, a friend of yours maybe, know about this movie or maybe recommend it? You know, maybe someone that's also uncultured like us.
Yeah. I mean, rating-wise, I'm standing with you. I think it's a 3.5.
Respect.
I don't think it's much higher than that. And to be fair, I don't really see how you could rate it like a 5 out of 5. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if there's enough substance. You know, I'm not... It's the Uncultured Podcast. I mean, that's not what it's called. But that's kind of the position we take on those movies. So I don't want to be like...
No, that's fair.
I don't want to act like I know a lot because I don't.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what? But I think that's just like the general. Firstly, this was an interesting movie to do first because of like the controversy, the discussion that you can have with it. And then also when we compare it with other movie selections that are a little bit more profound, you know, like this one's a little bit less substance. Like you said, the plot's a little bit thin. It's like someone with thinning hair. It's like, ugh.
Right.
Except, you know what? Maybe the guy with thinning hair has a nice little comb over. You know what I'm saying?
Like Butch.
Like Butch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Butch, yeah. But you know, if you could think of it.
Would you recommend it to a peer of yours?
In the big 2-6?
In the huge 2-6.
In the huge 2-6.
The gigantic 2-6.
Gosh, the gigantic 2-6. Probably.
Yeah?
I think I probably would.
Okay.
Just like, I don't know, it's a fun movie. Like, if you're trying to...
How would you convince someone to watch it?
Well, if they like... I don't know why this wasn't labeled it as one of the themes, but I would say it's somewhat of a dark humor. Yeah, it's like somewhat dark humor. And if they like Tarantino movies, like this is you have to watch this one.
Yeah.
Because it's probably arguably his greatest Tarantino movie. What am I saying? It's arguably Tarantino's greatest movie, so you have to watch it.
I mean, yeah.
So that's probably what I would say. And also, like, Tarantino's an iconic director. You should probably, if you like movies in the least, you should probably know a little bit about him.
If you like dark humor, next week we'll go into another film that is very dark, but not a lot of humor, not very comedic. Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dark. Well, from what I know, we haven't seen it.
Yeah, no.
But I don't know. There's a famous clip online.
I haven't seen any.
On Reels, where people are coming out of the theater after watching it. Mm-hmm. They're coming out of the theater after watching it for the first time, and they're just like, oh, yeah. Like, the reporters are trying to ask questions. They're like, no, I can't. Like, that movie was somewhat horrific, you know?
Right, yeah.
So that's all I know about it. Needless to say, it's going to be a big shift. Yeah. From Pulp Fiction to this movie, gosh, I'm excited. I am excited. And you guys should be, too. You guys should be, too. Thank you for tuning in. It's been Miguel.
And I'll tell him.
And thank you guys for listening. Tune in again in 2 weeks where we talk about
Schindler's List for Late Admission.